Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, the Portland Classic, Oregon's largest annual golf event, longest-running non-major stop on the LPGA Tour, is moving. This year's tournament will move from Northeast Portland's Columbia Edgewater Country Club to the Oregon Golf Club in West Lynn. Tom Miletus is president of the Tournament Golf Foundation. He's here to talk about it. Tom, thank you for making time. I appreciate you. This news breaks yesterday, but how long have you been working on this or sort of noodling on what to do with this event?
Well, John, hey, thanks for having me on. We really, ever since the start of the year, we've had an agreement with Columbia Edgewater moving forward for our 2021 tournament. But, in going out to the area, we've had some concern for the last few months, and we've done our due diligence to address those concerns, but, we really had to make a decision because of time and everything it involves to put on an event of this magnitude. So, looking at all the factors involved, it was very frustrating and disappointing that we couldn't stage our 50th anniversary tournament at Columbia Edgewater. They've been great, and we've got over 30 of our 50 events staged out there. So it's a bittersweet situation, but it's a move we felt we had to make.
The bottom line here, is it safety? Is it the optics? Is it sponsors? Is it attendees, participants? What really is the driving force, Tom, when you talk about having to move it?
Well, you hit a lot of it right on the head. You know, Portland has experienced a rise in houselessness, especially the area surrounding Columbia Edgewater. And with respect to the health and safety of the LPGA players, the staff, fans, local community, we had to make that difficult decision to relocate the event for this year.
I look at the frustrations that a lot of businesses have with sort of the graffiti, homelessness, some crime downtown. Are we talking about the same things that affect a golf tournament affect business owners, or is it unique?
Well, no, much of the same issues we would have as the business owners have. We really realize the complexity of the houselessness in Portland. And, it's just something that, out of the safety of everyone, because part of our problem is, the surrounding area around Columbia Edgewater, especially Northeast 33rd, between Columbia Boulevard and Marine Drive. We lease that from that property from the Port of Portland, and that's where we have all of our tournament parking. So, 95% of everyone involved with the tournament, spectators included, have got to come through that real tough area in order to get to the tournament. So, it was just something that we had to look at and make a decision, and it was just there was too many negatives over the positives of having it there. But we have many of the same frustrations that a lot of the local business owners have had regarding just the health and safety of the situation, whether it be around the golf course or around their local business.
Tom Miletus with us, president of Tournament Golf Foundation, the organization that puts on golf events such as the Portland Classic. It is, again, if you're just tuning in, moving from Columbia Edgewater to Oregon Golf Club in West Lynn. Tom, did you talk to city officials? Did you ask them, hey, can you ensure us that this could be cleaned up? Or what kind of response do you get?
Yeah, you know, in making a decision of this magnitude, we did our due diligence, John, you know, besides talking to tournament organizers about the situation, the LPGA, we had ongoing conversations with Columbia Edgewater, and we did have communication with the city of Portland and the Port of Portland during this. So we wanted to make sure that if we made this decision, we were making it at the right time. So, getting down to the city of Portland and the Port of Portland, that area out there is kind of checkerboarded as far as responsibilities. The port owns a lot of property out there. The city of Portland does a lot of cleanup. They have some also, but, they were very respective of our concerns. And, what we got out of the conversations is they were going to address it and look at it. But bottom line, John, there was no guarantee that, hey, you're going to be set and ready to go come September 16th for the event. So we just weren't sure some of those commitments could come to fruition, and we just couldn't take that chance that it wouldn't happen with, everything that was involved in the decision and, some of the negatives involved in it.
You know, the golfers themselves, the LPGA golfers, I've heard them rave about the course. They love the course. Did they have concerns about their safety, or was this driven more from a larger picture, bigger picture place?
Well, I think it was a larger, bigger picture place. I mean, obviously, we didn't talk directly with the LPGA players. We talked with the LPGA staff and the higher-ups there, and they were very well of the situation. They were in tune with it. And I think for the safety of the players and everyone else, the decision that was unified as far as which way we go. But they do love the course. It's been a great course. I would like nothing more, along with the rest of the people at Tournament Golf Foundation, to be able to host our event out there, our 50th event, that has meant so much to all of us here in Portland and to the players and everyone else. But it's just part of the deal and the decision we had to make.
Tom Miletus with us, president of the Tournament Golf Foundation. The event goes to Oregon Golf Club out in West Lynn. I'm assuming it will it keep the Portland Classic name on the event?
Oh, absolutely. We have no plans of moving the tournament out of state or whatever. It is going to continue to be the Portland Classic. Cambia has been a great title sponsor. They're very supportive of everything that we have been doing. And, John, it's not like, we have moved the tournament around before. It's not like we're leaving forever. I mean, in the early 70s, it was the Portland Golf Club. We went to the Reserve right down the road in the 80s, and we went out to Pumpkin Ridge for 4 years from 09 to 2012. So we have moved it around. And, we always do, like we are this year, we always want to positively showcase the event, not only to the international audience we have with the Golf Channel, but showcase the entire city of Portland and state of Oregon. So it's something that we want to do again this year, and I feel confident that we'll pull it off, and it's going to be a very good show for everyone involved at the Portland Classic this year.
The Oregon Golf Club gets the event. Is this, I've heard 3 years, Tom, is that accurate?
Well, we entered into an agreement, and most of our agreements are all 3 years. It's this year with an option for 2022 and 2023. Though there is a clause in there that for both parties, either our tournament, Tournament Golf Foundation, or Oregon Golf Club, where after a year there's an opt-out. So, it's hard to tell. Our main focus, John, is putting on the greatest event we can at Oregon Golf Club this year, and we'll just see what the following years bring. But at this point, we're really not locked into any long-term situation, but we are committed for the Oregon Golf Club venue as being our host course for this year's event.
All right, Tom, before I cut you loose, you know, I know that there are a lot of people that are bummed about seeing the event leave. They're also frustrated with the scene up and down 33rd, as you see the tarps and the campers and, you know, people that are dealing with homelessness, mental illness, other factors, drug use and abuse, crime. You have a fix for this, because, you know, I've been railing on leadership. I think we need better leadership, but you see it. You've been around it. You've talked to some of the principals involved. What kinds of things are people talking about when it comes to maybe solving the problem?
Well, you know, John, long term, I have confidence in, you know, I've lived here my whole life. I've got confidence in the city and this turnaround with the great citizens we have. It is a frustrating time, a little bit politically right now, but I really feel that Portland is going to bounce back, but it's going to take some time. It's, you know, we're not maneuvering a speedboat here. It's a big cargo ship, and it takes a little bit more to turn, but it is frustrating. But in due time, and I don't know how long that due time is, I feel confident that everything will get back to somewhat the way it was, and hopefully soon.
Appreciate you, Tom Miletus. I appreciate you making time and appreciate how candid you are.
Well, I appreciate it, John. You know, it's just something that is true to our heart. And, you know, the tournament, I think, means an awful lot to Portland. We've given over $18 million to local charities. We're a nonprofit. Our intent is good. We have no agenda besides putting on a great event and showcasing this great area every year. And it's, you know, it's something that we want to continue, hopefully for another 50 years.
Appreciate you. Tom Miletus, the Portland Classic moving to West Lynn. I know a lot of people frustrated by it, disappointed by it. I want to kick it around. We did a little bit on yesterday's show, but I don't think there's an easy solution. I talked about a FEMA-like response. I've talked to some of the power brokers in and around the city who have talked about it needing to be a public-private partnership. How do you clean up the mess that is Portland? Like, how do you clean that up simply? And can it be simply done? Can it be turned? I've got friends who say Portland's done. Yesterday on the show, I said, no. We can turn this thing. And in 14 months, it turned one direction. We can turn it back. How hopeful are you, as somebody watching this, that it can be fixed? And that sport events like this Portland Classic that's leaving the area, like the Women's Final Four that chose not to come to Portland, like the Oakland A's potentially might have a chance to come to Portland. Like, how confident are you that this can be fixed? And what are those solutions? This is where sports meets the real world. 503-417-7575. You weigh in. Well, for those of you who are disappointed in seeing the Columbia Edgewater Golf Club lose the Portland Classic, I wrote about it a little bit this morning, and I wrote about sort of framing the Trailblazers experience around it. I'm told that in front of the Blazers' home playoff games, the Blazers also reached out to the city, as any business putting on an event would do. They had 8,000 fans, remember, that were supposed to be at those first games. And the Blazers were concerned about the scene that is around Moda Center, sort of the tarps and the tents and the garbage piling up and the graffiti. And the city of Portland came in and in 72 hours cleaned it all up, got rid of the graffiti, got rid of the trash, relocated people, said you can't be here, and the 8,000 fans that went to those games at Moda Center largely reported, like people I talked with, all said, man, it was great. It was great to be back in the building. Nobody was talking about the scene around the building. I found that interesting. But I am also told, and I haven't been back to the area since the game stopped being played, that the minute the game stopped being played, the graffiti came right back and that the garbage came right back. So I think you have a big problem here. We all know it's a large problem. And we talked about it on yesterday's show, and I don't have the solution. I don't have the magic bullet to fix this. But I do know that there are a couple things that bother me about sort of the trend of sports events that aren't coming to Portland. Like, you know, we could have a whole Jeopardy category. What is the NBA All-Star Game? What is the Women's Final Four? What are the Oakland A's if they decide to relocate? Like, all these things come to mind when I talk about sort of the brand of the city, how safe people feel, and the fact that, you know, you've got politically, I think, a lack of leadership and probably a bad system at City Hall, if we're being fair to the mayor. Like, the mayor gets one vote, one out of five. You got a mayor that could be outvoted, even though that's the mayor. Like, the mayor was elected to be in a position of authority and make some decisions, but the mayor is no more powerful or influential than the commissioners in the system that Portland uses. So maybe the idea is you first have to change the system. You got to empower somebody. You got to empower somebody to be a leader. And yes, I know, sometimes leadership is getting people who aren't on board with your agenda on board. So I do put a large part of this on Mayor Ted Wheeler and City Hall, going, look, how difficult is it for the mayor's office? You heard Tom Miletus. How difficult is it for City Hall to promise that golf club, yeah, we can ensure the safety of people who are coming to the event? Like, that should be priority one. Hey, we got a bunch of people, including LPGA golfers, that are coming in for this event. They're coming to Portland. This is infusing revenue into the market. It's propping up businesses. It's hotels. It's restaurants. This is all a good thing. How can we ensure these people are going to be safe? City Hall kind of shrugs. Can you clean up the area around the golf course, relocate people? Can we come up with a plan to help homelessness, mental illness, drug addiction? Like, can we address this? And again, I've said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I wrote it this morning. FEMA-like response, literally talking about something along the lines of like the American Red Cross when they come in after a disaster. Because what we have here is the equivalent of a man-made disaster, like literally. That's what we've got here. And the bottom line is we're losing events. We're losing, luckily, losing the Portland Classic to the suburbs of Portland. But the Women's Final Four, they're now talking, you heard it on Friday's show right here, Jim Etzel, Sport Oregon, says he's talking about the 2029, 2030, 2031 cycle. Hell, what are you doing in 2031, Judah? You want to go to the Women's Final Four? That's so far away.
I got my tickets already for it, yep.
You're going to be taking a 10-year-old kid to that thing.
Well, and it's Jim's tone was pretty interesting on the Friday interview you did with him. He's like, I'm going to take another swing at this sucker. You know, it's like he, as long as he is here and leading Sport Oregon, and that I keep coming back to him. And I come back to the guys with the Diamond Project too. But if there's going to be any type of localized hope in the Portland market for sports, I feel like it's just got to completely bypass as much as possible City Hall. You know, yeah. It can't value City Hall as being essential to decisions. It has to bypass them because, I mean, look, I'm not a politics guy or whatever, but I'm pretty sure Ted Wheeler just got elected again for another run here, and he's going to be in that seat till 2025, which means a lot of other people in that City Hall are probably going to be doing the same. I don't trust those people at all to do anything resembling muscle to help clean up. So it's got to be on other people. It's got to be on kind of other leadership and other bodies outside of the orbit of City Hall to try to do things sports-wise. But as you point out, at a certain point, people are only going to bring their events here, their teams here, if you're the A's. When they're comfortable, the city is in a decent place. Not even a great place, but a decent place. And as long as current City Hall leadership is there, I'm not sure that you can sell decency at all.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed right now. But I'm interested in hearing from listeners. Like, do you think that it's a foregone conclusion? Like, is it gone? That statement, Portland is gone. Mm. Is Portland gone? Is there a getting it back? 503-417-7575. I think we can get it back.
No, okay. Why do you say that?
I think that as quickly as this thing shifted negatively, I think with smart leadership and good ideas, I think it can pivot 180 degrees back the other way. I think we've seen neighborhoods. I think we've seen other cities. I think we've seen, you know, parts of Portland that people went, that area's gone. Like, you have seen sort of the revitalization that can happen with just in a small setting. It's as simple sometimes as a business that comes in and says, we're going to plant a flag here and we're going to revitalize this neighborhood. And then suddenly everybody wants to be part of it. But I think the part of the issue here is that some of this is systemic. Some of this was, I think, exacerbated by the pandemic and people sort of, you know, being restless. And also, I think it became permissive to kind of look the other way on crime. And there is a faction of people, like it came up yesterday. Maybe I'm a little bit in denial about this because I said, I talked a lot about homelessness and mental illness and the connection. But there's a faction of people who have just said, I want to live this way. And, you know, Anna made that point yesterday, and I've heard from a bunch of people saying, you know, like, yeah, the mental illness is a part of this, but there's a bunch of people piggybacking on the back of it, just going, hey, look, I can live a pretty carefree life living on 33rd under a tent, like I'm camping out all the time. And they're kind of just temporarily doing this for a couple of few years. Like, we got to clean it up and make it, like, you know, make it a bridge. There has to be a bridge to somewhere better for the people who want it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.